Church. Welcome to St. John's Episcopal Church, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, online. We're really happy to have you with us this morning. Only one brief announcement this morning for us. Next Sunday, June 21st, at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., we will begin to experiment of what it looks like to bring folks back for public worship. The service will be similar to what you've been seeing online. We still won't have the Eucharist just quite yet. Next weekend will most certainly be a pilot, though we're going to have a dress rehearsal this week. We'll still be figuring things out about what church looks like under the tent on the lawn. So next week, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., June 21st, we would love to have you back on our campus if you feel comfortable. If you are still staying at home and sheltering in place, we most certainly will continue to provide online worship for you. Because our worship will be outside, we're not able to film and stream that worship, but we'll continue to do what we've been doing here for the last few weeks until we eventually migrate back into this building, and then we will stream those services live. If you were looking at the back of the church that I'm looking at right now, you would see a very small construction site where we are installing a little sound and video booth so that we can more effectively communicate our worship from live stream when we move back into this place. We've put Brian back to work with a saw and screw gun and tape measure. I'm so grateful for that help. But we look forward to welcoming you back to church next Sunday, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., under the tent, on the grass, behind our church. That's all I have for you announcement-wise. After the ringing of the bell and a period of quiet, we'll begin our worship for this morning.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole, so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness and minister your justice with compassion. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's say together Psalm 100 found in your bulletin. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. and come before his presence with a song. Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon, the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So it's my week to start off this sermon conversation, and I'm glad this is one of my favorite passages. It's one that I think frequently gets passed around among groups of religious professionals, that particularly that portion of like, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. You hear clergy or lay workers in the church express this with some concern about, you know, golly gee gosh, we're so overworked here in this ministry, without remembering that that's only half the message there. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers is what comes after that. And what we're hearing today in this passage, and remember, we're coming out of the farewell discourse on John, where Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure and for a real change, a real transformation in what the ministry will look like. And then we have, of course, that we don't have it in our lectionary necessarily in the same order, but we have the crucifixion and the resurrection. And then we have the ascension, and in the life of the church, we have this Pentecost event. But we put the farewell discourse and the Pentecost event, and then this commissioning, we squeeze those things together. And to some degree, what we hear is, you know, jokingly, like the scaling of Jesus Enterprise Inc. or something. The work is being pushed down and spread out, first to the lost sheep of Israel, as we've heard. And then we know when we backtrack to the Pentecost story in our lectionary, or we fast forward to that story in the course of the biblical narrative, we know that it extends well beyond the lost sheep of Israel. And the thing that I want to focus on a bit this morning for our conversation and see what we might talk about is, what is the principal work that Jesus puts before us in this passage? And as I hear it, I would say it's twofold. It's proclamation of the gospel and the work of healing. And so I think we have to unpack a little bit of what proclamation of the gospel looks like, especially at the beginning of Jesus's public ministry. And what I think proclamation of the gospel looks like in light of the beginning of Jesus's ministry, and you hear that and tell them that the kingdom of God has come near to them. It's an affirmation of the identity of humanity as beloved. So what do we proclaim? We proclaim you beloved. We proclaim you valuable. We proclaim you creature of God, lovingly made. And our work before us is to affirm that. Mm-hmm. When we meet you, to say, like, I see you, child of God. I know that you are beloved because I too am beloved. So we expect the disciples to carry that affirmation forward. And then there's this other piece, and it's not just another thing. It's complementary to the work of affirmation. What we all know as human beings is that we become rather quickly disconnected from a sense of our own belovedness, a sense of our divine identity, our connection to God, the loving creator. And when that happens, when that disconnect happens, there is a brokenness that's there. We articulate that brokenness in so many different ways in the Christian tradition, whether we call it separation from God or sin or being lost, or, you know, there's so many terms that we use. And so there's this affirmation, like, affirm people in their identity as beloved. And then, oh, did you see someone that was disconnected from that? Ah, then that's the person that needs healing. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what y'all thought of that, if I push these two ideas out of proclaiming the good news or affirmation of our identity of God, and then that connected work of healing people, reconnecting them to that identity.
Well, they go together, because the healing is the affirmation, right?
Mm.
Of the recognition. And I think the healing starts in our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So that we are able to heal and love one another. But it begins with that acknowledgement of our belovedness. Even in our brokenness, we are beloved. Because you heal, but you're never going to, what's the imagery of the pot that's been broken and they glue it back together and the light shines through?
Yeah.
I mean, the brokenness is always a part of us,
yeah.
But the healing, you know, you continue forward. And I think that that sense of loving one another through that brokenness, and it does start with you, and it starts in this relationship when you are disconnected from a loved one or somebody that has hurt you in some way. If you are not able to heal that and love through that, it hurts you ultimately, right? I mean, it hurts your soul. It hurts all of us. And I think we talked about this a few weeks, about that interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
One of us broken is all of us broken. And you talked about this a little earlier, that this is at this basic level in relationship one-on-one, all the way through the brokenness that we're seeing in our culture today.
Absolutely.
And the hurt that we're seeing. And so what does loving one another through that, affirming the God in each of us, the
mm-hmm.
light in each of us, you know, the child of God, and loving one another to healing.
What jumped out at me as Mary was reading the gospel today was that beautiful line, the kingdom of God has come near.
It is beautiful.
You know?
It is.
And
yeah.
You know, elsewhere, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Within
mm-hmm.
you. Well, how much nearer could it be than
right.
than within you, right? Within me, within you. That's where the kingdom of God is. That's where we can live in God's grace.
And also, the kingdom of God is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's
right.
present
it is,
moment.
It
it's not
near.
Something in the future or something in
yes.
the past. It's
absolutely.
It's happening.
It's all of those things.
Yeah.
It's now, it's past, it's future. It's just embedded in us
mm-hmm.
as beloved of God. And yet, I don't know anybody that hasn't been hurt. Broken. I don't think broken is too strong of a word to use. I mean, so we human beings are this amazing mixture of beloved on one hand, perfect at our core, where the kingdom resides, right? On one hand, and wounded too. And isn't Jesus the perfect example of that balance of perfect Son of God, wounded pretty bad, hung on the cross, in fact, and
betrayed,
yeah. Spit on, crucified. And so we have all of that in every one of us, right? And so even though we share this divine nature, we all need to be healed.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know, and if that's where it begins, that's not where it ends. Right? Because if we can be healed personally, individually, then we can take that healing out into the world.
I know the text from Romans, there's some hindsight with that. So this is post-resurrection and all of that, and they have a little bit better idea of what they're dealing with. But there's some language in this that really came to me as I was reading it. I'm not somebody who believes that, you know, suffering is a purpose, but the brokenness actually gives us depth and creates who we are as human beings. I mean, the brokenness is actually an essential part of our growth.
There's some perspective there.
Yeah.
I think you were mentioning, I think it's wabi-sabi. Yeah. Isn't that the Japanese craft of, but it,
that sounds
it,
about
it,
right.
Presents, it presents a different view. But no less beautiful and maybe more.
Right, exactly. And so I think that there is beauty in the brokenness, but some of the language in the Romans, I just, that we are, the grace in which we stand is a really beautiful concept. And that, he talks about suffering, and that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And those are the tools of healing, right? God's love that has been poured into our hearts and the grace in which we stand.
And talking about hope that does not disappoint us.
Yes.
You know, and I for one, when we think about the microeconomy of our relationships, or we think about the macroeconomy of the chaos and the crisis that we face with race in America right now, I need that measure of hope.
Right.
I need to know that if we apprentice ourselves diligently and conscientiously to the work of knowing our identity, of being healed from our disconnection from it, that work will lead us on to greater work that could include racial equality or racial reconciliation at a level where we are able to experience it here in the culture of Jackson and beyond in the United States.
It's powerful.
Yes.
Tough few weeks
it's tough that we
have had, even here in Jackson, Wyoming, and to hear the proclamation of good news is so important to me right now. I need that healing word. I need that added commentary that Paul gives us, that as we persevere through this experience, we will re-encounter hope.
Right.
Yeah. And that'll pull us through. Are we done here?
I think we're done here.
I think we are.
I think we're good. Do we have homework this week?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll give you a little homework this week. So What I would like you to think about this week is based upon those two beats of the Christian life that we were talking about. The first beat is that affirmation. Do you have a sense of your own belovedness? I mean, if you don't by now, we talk about it every week, right? You know, so what are we doing to reconnect with that belovedness and maybe examine where you're not feeling it? Think of it as something that needs some healing, mm-hmm. and give a little time to consider what healing might look like, what the antidote or the therapy for that might look like. So just something for you to think about this week.
Please join me as we say together the Christian affirmation in a time of uncertainty. We believe in God
the Creator, who reminds us in the drawing of every new day that new life is possible. We believe in the wonder and grandeur of the universe, where the whole of life is called to live in harmony of care. We believe in Jesus Christ, who created the mountains of peace and brought us the word in mustard seeds and fig trees of blessing, whose footsteps touch the earth in love, and who invites us to follow.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, whose wisdom often lies embedded in ancient peoples.
They trod lightly across deserts and lived gently among plants and creatures. They reached respectfully for the mystery, which is God with us, the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. We believe in the everlasting hope, the great calling of the people of God, the Church, for the transforming of all things, which is possible in God. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power. Let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times. Let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Ken, Mark, Eric, Paul, Rebecca, the Brown family, Marion and Stan, Mary, Sylvia, Megan, Warren, Joan, Melissa, Gail, Amy, Robin, Ernie and Francis, Ned, Mark, Julie, Tony, Svetlana, Jim, Rob, Kelly, Sue, Susie, the Smith family, Stephen, Mary, Russell, Nikki, John, Jean, Anne, Cindy, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy and compassion and unity, that we may find new ways to connect and love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays, Ed, Lisbeth, Tim, Anna, Helen, Parker, Teresa, Janine, Anna Mae, Thomas, George, Lynn, Sarah, Melissa, Hayden, Allie, Leanne, Tori, Leslie, Butch, and those celebrating anniversaries. Bob and Betty, Will and Laura, Mike and Mary, Chuck and Lisa, Cliff and Donna, John and Jessica, Wayne and Sarah, Mike and Laura. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds, that we do not fall into despair but rise in hope. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
To those that who have died, especially Patricia Gibson, may find peace and joy among the communion of saints. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your spirit among us that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world. Amen.
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 The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you today and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.